For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reginald Atitula.
Noontime, baby, on a football Friday ahead of the final preseason game. It'll be Texans-Rams. Don't anticipate seeing a lot of starters. Don't anticipate seeing very many starters at all.
No.
After the joint practice between those two teams yesterday. But still some important things that I think we can see a few of them at least when we talk about maybe how the wide receivers shake out, how the running backs shake out. That's that. That's forward.
We mentioned that.
Yeah, we did mention that. And we might even mention that a little bit more as we have this conversation. But 713-572-4610, where did the Texans make the biggest improvement during this camp? Because technically camp is over, right? There's still
this final preseason
game. Yeah. And we'll get down the 53-man cut. Yeah. Here the start of next week, but camp itself, practices, that type of things, we're done there. And so, in a little bit of a revisiting of what was done, what was improved, what was the goals, and what was achieved during the course of camp. Let us know what you think, or where you thought the Texans made the biggest improvements during camp. And John, you had some things that kind of came to mind for you.
I did, because I'm looking at I actually was speaking yesterday with somebody over in that building, kind of just getting a feel for things as camp is winding up. And it just kind of occurred to me, like a light bulb moment. And that's why I wanted to talk about it here today. It's amazing that we got legitimate answers, at least to this point. I mean, who knows how the regular season plays out. We got legitimate answers in three areas that I don't think we could have predicted we would have known before the first regular season game, even, that we'd have an answer on that. And let's start with the most important one, because I know I was wringing my hands about this offensive line. I was like, ooh, let's see about Tunsil.
Yeah.
Oh, Kenyon, how's he going to come? Remember that, Figgy? We didn't even know what he was going to look like, coming back. Juice Scruggs. Well, I mean, you guys know I like Juice Scruggs a lot, but that doesn't mean squat,
right?
Compared to what they think of him. So we didn't know about the offensive line at all, going into camp. It was all speculation. It was all, let's see. Dude, we got an answer. Like, I know we can parse a little bit, and I think Seth Payne brought up a really good point. Like, maybe the offensive line isn't run blocking quite as well as we would like to at this point. But what's that analogy he uses? Five fingers in a glove?
Yeah.
That they haven't done that enough. I always say they haven't played in tandem enough to really get that going. But we've got an answer on the offensive line. We've got five dudes that are in the places where they were expected to be playing and playing pretty darn well. We haven't criticized, legitimately anyway, maybe a false start or something here and there. Tunsil, Green, Scruggs, obviously Shaq Mason.
Well, Tunsil, that's because he hadn't played.
Yeah,
very much. Exactly. Yeah, it's like let's be fully transparent on that.
We haven't said, oh boy, I don't know about that guy. Like, the offensive line is set.
Yeah, you know what the line is going to be.
Yeah,
what's the level of aptitude that they're capable of reaching? I think is something that you still want to see. And I don't know how much concern. Let me ask you like this: how much concern do you have with the offensive line pass blocking? Because run blocking is something that.
Yeah.
Both Clint Sterner and Seth Payne, guys who I would defer to in some ways on this, have said, hey, man, there's still something to be desired when it comes there. And I think that they're absolutely correct in that. I mean, I mentioned how with those guys talking about it, I went and watched the All-22 from Saturday's game against the Giants.
You're
and I was like,
yourself.
Hey, man, yeah, what's happening here, man? Y'all don't have a hat on a hat in these instances. That's kind of what you're trying to do running the football. And I'm not just talking about, an unblocked player on the backside or something like that. Where you're going to the football, having an unblocked player is not what you want. So, like, there are some things there, but that some of that is schematic and those types of things.
Yeah.
Pass blocking-wise, though, you feel comfortable, though, right?
Yeah, I think pass blocking, you're absolutely comfortable. And even run blocking, as I just mentioned, I think, you know, you can see them getting there from here. So, like, I fully expected to be worried. I'll put it this way. I fully expected to be worried about this offensive line going into the regular season. And I'm not really worried. Are you? Are you worried about this offensive line?
I'm not. The only question I had was Kenyon Green, how he was going to look. And he been fine. And then also Titus Howard. And this is not, you know, if he would play good or not. It's more of if he could stay healthy.
Yeah.
But outside of that, and that's, to me, that's slim pickings.
Yeah. So when you talk about where they made the biggest improvement, that's where I'm starting.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I'm starting for sure. Also.
Okay.
I mean, we're talking about Jeff Okuda, C.J. Henderson. Like, who, you know, yeah, they drafted this rookie, but boy, he runs a 4.6.
Yeah,
you know?
who's going to grab that opposite spot from Stingman?
We kind of say, Lazner going to play in the slot.
He's going to start him off in the slot. Draft night, we talked about that.
He'd be a slot guy.
Yeah, he'll be maybe he could be a slot guy.
Yeah.
So talk about the biggest improvement. Number two, we know our cornerbacks, and I don't – are you worried? I'm not worried.
I feel kind of confident about he plays in kind of a heady way. Now, of course, he's still a rookie. You will see rookie stuff pop up during the course of a season. But he plays in a heady way when you talk about, again, the technique and the ways that you can make up for maybe being a half step slower than other folks by making sure you're on your P's and Q's. And more often than not, it does look like he's on his P's and Q's. Hell, we were getting reports from camp.
He was on Cooper
yesterday.
Cup.
On Cooper Kupp, one of the best technicians running
them like a cheap suit
running routes. Yeah, and he was going, you know, kind of you know, play for play with them and making sure to stick with them and making it tough on one of the better wide receivers in this league, right? Yeah. If that's not a ringing endorsement of his capability, at least being on the field, right? I'm not even, you don't even have to get into like the aptitude of how good he is as a second cornerback, right? But at least being on the field and being comfortable and looking like he belongs to the point where you do not have him being labeled the mark by the other team, which that means something when you're going to be playing across from a Derek Stingley Jr. who looks like he is ascending in his place as a cornerback.
Yeah.
And if you have an ascendant cornerback and another cornerback on the other side, the people go, oh, well, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
We could go against him.
Good.
Then you're going to end up seeing a lot of traffic that way. He's probably still going to see a lot of traffic that way because of that
only
dynamic.
Because of Stingley.
But he looks like he's going to be capable of being up to the challenge, at least in the minimum.
By all rights, we should be sitting here. You know, this conversation we're having about, oh, who are they going to keep as the backup wide receivers? We should, by all rights, be having that conversation. Who's going to be the starting cornerback opposite Stingley? You know, we should have had that competition, like that's a little unsure about, is it going to be Okuda? Is it going to be Henderson? Is it going to be Les? And we're not. Like the you know, again, back to the question you asked here, where have they made the biggest improvement? They got themselves two cornerbacks.
Yeah.
They got them. They
now,
got them.
If you want to go start talking about cornerback depth,
no, you're
fair enough, right? Like we can have those questions, but shout out to Kamari Lassiter, you know, pretty definitively answering that cornerback question for this team over the course of camp. Is there anyone else that comes to mind? Figgy, is anything coming to mind for you?
I was kind of on that same page as Lassiter, but Kalen Bullitt, man, like I had questions about the safety position because I didn't know what Jalen Petrie is going to do this year. Mm-hmm. He had a bad year last year, had a good rookie year. So I'm thinking like, man, there's no way they're going to start two rookies.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Let alone one rookie. And look, it looked like they finding a way to start this second rookie.
And look, we had how much time going with the scandal of Justin Simmons being out there? Man, and will they sign him and those types of things?
It kind
of
got to a point where I'm like, huh? Who needs Justin Simmons at this point?
Exactly.
We got Kalen Bullitt.
Yeah. Right? And I think that means a lot for the way that he's played and the confidence that he is seeming to give us. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not to say that he will be Justin Simmons and that, like, if you had signed Justin Simmons, that you would not get better output.
Yeah.
But then at that point, I think the question becomes, would signing Justin Simmons have been like a development stopper or what have you? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's a whole nother thing. But at least, again, in the same way we were talking about Kamari Lassiter, right?
Yeah.
Like, being able to be capable of being a starter, even if he's not like the best starter mm-hmm. in the league or anything, but being capable, that means a lot for a rookie to step in and feel that level, or feel to that level of play, rather, especially considering this is a team with high expectations.
I mean, you could argue that we came into training camp, Figgy, not knowing who would be safety. Like any safeties.
Yeah, I kind of penciled. I had Jalen Petrie up there in pencil, but still, I wasn't confident about that, especially last year.
Ward, we wondered about Jimmy Ward. He's getting up there a little bit, you know, who knows, and all this other stuff.
Now he got an extra year. You got Jalen Petrie playing the nickel.
And Kalen Bullock starting.
Yeah.
So that's a great point. So that's three big places right there where we should be having a discussion.
Those are major questions.
Yeah, where we should still be talking, man. Who's going to be at safety? Who's going to be at cornerback? Do you know anything about the offensive line?
Or even just questioning starting a rookie at safety
that. Yeah,
yeah. With Laremy Tunsil, though, because we got a text on the text line, from the 979, Tunsil scares me most. Over, under 8 false starts. He's coming out. He's coming in out of shape. He's going to jump in, and he has to overcome the fact that he is not yet ready. Like, he's in shape, but he's not in game shape.
Do the false start stuff bother you really that much?
Yes.
Penalties are always going to be a problem.
False starts bother me, but that's life with Laremy Tunsil. I mean,
that's where I'm at with Laremy
Tunsil. I see what you mean.
Like, that's Laremy right there. He don't do nothing. Once he start giving up, you know, blocks and... Yeah. CJ started getting hit. That's when I start having the issue.
Bro. That's like I said, I don't like it, but that's just life with Laremy. And let me just say this. I know a lot of people aren't out there every day, and we're privileged to be able to go out there. He came in great shape.
Like, Tunsil?
Yeah. Now, maybe not the, quote, football shape.
Right.
And he talked about that. Tunsil talked about the football shape. But.
In fact, you want to hit that cut? This is actually Tunsil cut 7. Let me know. If you have it there, Fig. But yeah, the idea of like feeling him in his game, being ready to go, Tunsil was talking
about. I'm getting better every year, man. I'm solid. I'm in a good spot right now, mentally and physically. And some things I was going to prove on, of course. Just revving me back up. I should be ready week 1 for the Colts.
Should be ready for week 1. He was quick in all his answers.
He really
but
I love cutting up some Laremy Tunsil.
Do not take long.
I think his longest answer was 12 seconds.
God bless.
But let me just tell you, people. He came in shape.
Okay.
Like, he was in that dude is a rock. I mean, he's a big rock, but he's a rock. There's no question about that. Yeah, but the football stuff, he's kind of like Verlander. He knows what it takes to ramp himself up, you know, to be ready on opening day.
Well, he supposedly got a test. We were talking about those ESPN rankings of position groups.
Mm-hmm.
Colts defensive line is one of those ones that's going to be tough. So he's got a little bit of a challenge that way because – you got to be ramped up to the level of facing one of the best, if not the best, defensive lines that you're going to see all season. So you got to be ready to go, and hopefully he is. Some other folks mentioning on the text line from the 832, one of the biggest improvements is depth all the way around. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Outside of linebacker. Linebacker is to be determined.
100%. And it doesn't help that one of the few guys that you're sold on still dealing with an injury to the point of we're not certain, is he going to start the year playing with the team?
And really... This ties in with the first question here is where have they shown the most improvement? I would have bet money that we'd be talking about how thin they were at defensive tackle, and we're not.
Sure.
I mean they've come up with some answers at defensive tackle. Obviously Fatakusi and Fatakasi.
Yeah.
And Autry's going to be there eventually, but Mario Edwards came out of nowhere. He came out of nowhere and
he's been flat out good.
Rio.
I remember they signed him. I was just like, eh.
Yeah.
Like just a guy.
Yeah.
But no, he's the guy.
Yeah, he's the guy in that locker room.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, I'd say like they not only they made some significant improvement and then some during camp and a lot of these places I didn't expect it.
Yeah, and so look, that's what you would hope to have in camp is you want to figure some answers out and answer them in the affirmative, and it feels like there's a lot of places where they at. Don't want to be all sunshine and rainbows. There's definitely some places that still need to show improve. But by and large, there's good reasons for a lot of optimism, and it's good to see that you've had you've had a successful camp. I think you would term it as that, right? A successful camp?
Oh, big time. Now, I think you can kind of fall in between the, boy, did they answer those questions, and we still have questions at linebacker, is depth at running back. That's still something, and that ties in with what we mentioned at the very top of the show. Like,
yeah.
What do we have to see to kind of was the question tomorrow. I think Cam Akers has answered that question, and I think me personally, I think he's the second back behind Joe Mixon, but we'll see.
I'd have to agree.
But he still has, he's got some questions about his health.
Sure.
That has been repeated over the years, you know, so.
Yeah, and just how effective will it be? He looks like he has the vision and the headiness to be able to play the running back position.
Mm-hmm.
But again, as you mentioned very astutely multiple times, he wasn't running with them ones, right? And so what does it look like when he's running with the ones against ones in this league, picking up some of those carries? Is that maybe explosion that sometimes gets stolen from you in Achilles injuries? Is that going to be there in enough of spades to be able to get effective runs? Or is Joe Mixon going to be the one guy that you look at and you go, that guy is the one that can really make things happen, especially if the offensive line isn't blocking at the highest level that sometimes we might be concerned about?
No, so. I think you're absolutely right. And I think the Texans really, if they were being honest with themselves, I don't know if they expected Cam Akers. They were just kicking the tires.
It was a flyer.
Just kicking the tires,
right,
man.
A dude who is, in this outside zone scheme has found success in the past.
Yeah.
You get him for the low because of the injuries, and you see if you can throw something at the wall, and it definitely did stick.
Yeah,
in this
sometimes
way.
You kick the tires, and you're like, damn.
Yeah, still runs.
Hey,
yeah,
but we're still good.
We can make this one go A to B.
Yeah,
so there you go. Some of the things that the improvements that we've seen from the Texans during this camp, as it wrapped up yesterday with a joint practice against the Rams. They'll finish out the preseason tomorrow with a preseason game against the Rams. That's 12 p.m. 12 noon. I always forget. Yeah, that's is p.m. A.m. would be midnight, but 12 p.m. is when the game kicks off. 9 a.m. is when you get to hear pregame.
Yes, sir.
With Seth and Sean right here on Sports Radio 610, your home of Houston Texans football. Coming up next, let's do a little bit of lunchtime confessions.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.